From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
Chainsaws killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this thing you
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, telephone numbers, fax numbers, and all that kind of stuff. Web addresses, too. So please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't Couch Potato Radio, it's Activist Radio, and I urge you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down in the dragon at the road blockade. If you have information announcements or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And as always, we start out with announcements. From the Earth First Journal, the coming up November 18th through the 21st is the Desert Rat Rendezvous, calling all activists, bike heads, rebels, desert lovers, Luddites, musicians, and riot girls. November 18th through 21st at Cabeza Prieta, the campout at Papago Well. Bring lots of water, food, firewood, favors, fun, and hats. For information, the contact number is 520-906-2159. That's 520-906-2159. Or you can send email to roundriver@hotmail.com for the Desert Rat Rendezvous. roundriver@hotmail.com. And what else do we have here? We have... actually, that took place yesterday. So, that's it for the Earth First Journal announcements. There is a new video out for the National Forest Protection from Green Fire. It's a great video. These folks were down at the Santa Cruz Earth Vision Video Contest. These people won first place with this video to help citizens support for help build citizen support for the National Forest Protection. Green Fire Productions has released a new inspiring and motivational grassroots organizing video, Ancient Forests, The Power of Place. It is stunning. A first place winner, by the way. Anyway, if you'd like to get a copy of this, they are reasonably priced at about $10 each, which includes shipping. You can contact Green Fire at 503-736-1295. That's 503-736-1295. Or contact them through the email at info@greenmedia.org. That's info@greenmedia.org. Or visit their webpage, www.greenmedia.org. If you want to write them a letter, write to Green Fire, 3980. 48 East Burnside in Portland, Oregon, 97214. Once again, that address, Green Fire, 3948 East Burnside, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Really great folks. Had a nice time talking to them at Earth Vision. The California Supreme Court's refusal to hear the National Park Conservation Association's case against the proposed Eagle Mountain landfill adjacent to Joshua Tree National Park is a real bummer. The Interior Board of Land Appeals rejected our appeal to exchange public lands in support of the landfill. It's a real nasty stuff. And apparently it's going through really quickly. We'll contact National Park Conservation Association for more information on that one. Okay. Let's see. These are supposed to be announcements. Where's our announcements? Okay. Oh, I get what these are. These are shuffled in from last week, so we'll shuffle them right to the back here. Okay, right back there. Okay, they got in the wrong place. Bad news. Just a note to let you know that Peter Brawler, longtime Earth First artist, died earlier this week of a heart attack at home. His father, Dick, was with him there. Peter had gone to lay down, was not feeling well, then suddenly had Dick hold him, evidently aware he was dying. He was gone by the time paramedics got him to the St. Joseph's Hospital in Burbank. Peter was 56 years old, had a history of heart problems. Unfortunately, his uncle had the same kind of problems. Here's a little note from an Earth First activist in Northern California. Andy, I'm so sorry. Another one gone. We will miss him very much. You and he are the two people I most associate with LA Earth First. Thank you so much for telling me, as Country Joe wrote about me getting older. Wrote to me about getting older. It only gets worse. Mortality is a motherfucker. I'm glad to have him on that Warrior Poetry video. At least some of his spirit will carry on to people who never knew him. Dick and he took care of my car in 94 when I was homeless and flown to Missoula to make the Cove Mallard video. Couldn't have done it without them, and Peter was such a bibliophile and conservation researcher. We've lost a great resource, a character, and a sweet, sensitive man, also battered by this harsh social juggernaut. And Andy sends out condolences and solace to all of you. Once again, Peter Brawler. Well, LA Earth First, dead at the age of 56 of a heart attack. More positive news. Hi, folks. We have an opportunity to save 60 million acres of roadless areas in our national forest. President Clinton has promised to save at least 40 million acres, half of forested. The rest is mainly ice and peak wilderness, and is considering saving up to 60 million acres. The problem is that this may only be a Gore election gift, unless the administration receives thousands of letters and calls demanding that all 60 million acres be protected permanently from logging, off-road vehicles, mining, or grazing. Without massive countenance from all of us, the final policy will no doubt be weak. This is a truly historic opportunity to take time to write your comments. Here is the address. Send your comments to USDA Forest Service, CAET. Attention, Roadless Areas, NOI, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. That address again for your comments on the roadless proposal. Send them to USDA Forest Service, CAET. Attention, Roadless Areas, NOI, P.O. Box 221090, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84122. Or send email to wo_caet-slc. Once again, that's wo_caet-slc at fs.fed.us. That's fs.fed.us. Or you can send a fax to 801-517-1021. That's 801-517-8021. That's the fax number for comments on the roadless area proposal. And wilderness surveyors are needed for California's spectacular North Coast. Several activists have been working hard to survey potential new wilderness areas on the North Coast, such as the King Range, the South Fork of the Eel, Red Mountain, and others. Please join these intrepid volunteers and help them complete these vital wilderness surveys. If you like ancient forest, damp coastal air, grasslands, rare plants, clean streams, and other natural wonders, this volunteer effort is for you. please contact Lynn Ryan at 707-923-1910. Excuse me, that's Lynn Ryan, 707-923-1910, or LynnR at asis.com. That's LynnR at asis.com. And there will be a wilderness survey training this weekend, November 13th. Please join Ryan Henson of the California Wilderness Coalition, a very fine gentleman, I might add, for an all-day free wilderness survey training course in the Mendocino National Forest. And the purpose of the training is to show you how to survey wild areas and to gather evidence necessary to propose them for wilderness status in Wildlands 2000, the next wilderness protection bill for federal lands in California. Once again, that's this weekend, November 13th, in Willows, California at 10 a.m. And the training will run from 10 until 4. You'll need a hat, sunscreen, rain gear. And please contact them if you can make it. Once again, that's this weekend, November 13th, 10 a.m. at the Mendocino National Forest headquarters in Willows. Get yourself into Willows. Take the first Willows exit off of I-5. And I guess that's from the south, this is written. So heading north on I-5, get off at the Willows exit, turn right, immediate left onto North Humboldt Street, and 3/4 mile north of the Forest Service office on the left. You can't miss it. 10 o'clock this weekend for wilderness survey training. And tell them that you're coming. Let's see, what is the phone number for that? For more information, contact Ryan Henson. His number, 530-474-4808. That's 530-474-4808. And Ryan, I'd like to get this information earlier if I can. Kind of late notice for most people. An event we are calling Roots and Branches is a benefit fundraiser for the Mendocino Coast Environmental Center. There will be music performances by Vision Walker, Original Wailer, Reggae Angels, Dancing Rhythm Dogs, the Johnny Allen Shaw World Freedom Orchestra, and Rozzy Word. And speakers Julia Butterfly via cell phone and more. It'll be at the Greenwood Community Center on Elk Highway 1 at the south end of Mendocino in California on Saturday, November 20th from noon until 1. That's a long benefit. This is a benefit to support the existence of the Mendocino Coast Environmental Center, and they need all your help, okay? So once again, Roots and Branches, a benefit fundraiser for the Mendocino Coast Environmental Center, Saturday, November 20th from noon until 1 in the morning. Long, great. If you want more information, contact Joseph at 707-937-0709. That's 707-937-0709. And this summer, the U.S. Forest Service released a new management plan for the national grasslands covering 2.8 million acres in North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Nebraska. The grasslands are home to sensitive fish, wildlife, and rare plant species. The last remnants of grasslands that covered many millions of acres in the Great Plains. Livestock grazing is, of course, the biggest cause of degradation in the Northern Plains grasslands. And there's all kinds of other stuff that are going on up there. Conservation comments are needed to counter the livestock industry pressure to support the service's decision to reduce grazing. These comments need to be sent to Northern Great Plains Planning Team, 125 North Main, Shadron, Shadron, Nebraska, 69337. Once again, that address for comments on the new management plans for national grassland to support reduced grazing. Those comments should be sent to Northern Great Plains Planning Team, 125 North Main, Shadron, Nebraska, 69337. You could also send mail to ngpmail/r2_Nebraska @fs.fed.us. That's ngpmail/r2_Nebraska at fs.fed.us, and comments on this proposal need to be entered by January 12th of next year. Let's move into animal news here. Bad news for nearly 200 wild horses. They ended up in slaughterhouses during the past 2 years in apparent violation of federal rules that required new owners to swear they did not plan to have the animals killed. The Bureau of Land Management says that since March 1998, 186 wild horses were sent to the slaughterhouses within 3 months of their owners getting titles from the government. In July 1998, the BLM began requiring that all new owners sign a statement saying they did not intend to sell their horses for slaughter, although some owners may have signed those statements earlier. The quick trip from title to slaughter was detailed in an internal BLM report last month that said 571 former wild horses were slaughtered at four U.S. plants between March 1998 and September 22nd. It was the first detailed accounting by the BLM of wild horses going to the slaughterhouse since the Associated Press exposed the practice in 1997. The report fueled new criticism of the adoption program, which began under a 1971 law designed to spare wild horses from being rounded up and sent to slaughter by the government. Now apparently the private individuals are doing that for the government. Anyway, not good at all. In Berkeley, we read, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will designate critical habitat for 7 threatened and endangered western species by the end of the year 2001 as part of a lawsuit settlement. The agency and Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt were sued by 2 environmental groups, the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity and Christians Caring for Creation, over charges that they violated the Endangered Species Act by failing to designate habitat for the species. The 7 species are the Alameda whipsnake, the Zianti band-winged grasshopper, the Moro shoulder-band snail, the San Bernardino kangaroo rat, the Arroyo southwestern toad, and 2 Alaskan birds, the spectacled eider and Steller's eider. Fish and Wildlife Service has a pattern and practice of failing to designate critical habitats as they are required to, said Jeff Miller, spokesman for the Center for Biological Diversity. We consider this settlement to be a big victory for these species, and we hope it will be a turning point for the Fish and Wildlife Service in terms of the way they view their duty to designate critical habitat. Unfortunately, the agency has been hit by hundreds of lawsuits over critical habitat designations, which the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says do not always benefit species because the designations allow vandals to find and harm the species. The settlement still requires a judge's approval, however. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Rio Bravo Tomato Company of Bakersfield have reached a settlement agreement on alleged Endangered Species Act violations at the company's property in Kern County, California. The settlement resolves allegations by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that Rio Bravo violated the ESA in 1998 by tilling about 225 acres of habitat for an endangered species, the Tipton kangaroo rat. Under the ESA, landowners must have a permit from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service before engaging in activities that might harm a threatened or endangered species or its habitat. The Rio Bravo Tomato Company did not have such a permit before it modified the Tipton kangaroo rat's habitat. Under the terms of the settlement, Rio Bravo paid the settlement amount of $22,500 but denied liability. Sounds like the real rats pick tomatoes. Anyway, the Interior Secretary Bruce Babbitt unveiled a massive restoration plan to replenish California's Chinook salmon and steelhead runs in Battle Creek, a major Sacramento River tributary. Battle Creek will be the first stream in California where several species of salmon will return to the historic spawning grounds. 5 Pacific Gas and Electric Company dams will be removed. Additional structures will be made fish-friendly and stream flows will be increased. Funding will come from federal, state, and private sources. Deeply as the gold or grizzly bear, wild salmon infuse California's past, said Babbitt. But through our collective will today, we will help ensure that salmon swim into our future. Wild salmon are vital members of creation who enrich our landscapes, inspiring us through their upstream journeys from the sea to the Sierra. The project calls for the decommissioning and removal of 5 diversion dams, Wildcat, Coleman, South, Lower Ripley Creek, and Soap Creek, and the transfer of their water rights to in-stream uses. Fish ladders at three more dams will be enlarged, and the minimum in-stream flows will be increased from 3 to 5 cubic feet per second to 35 to 88 cubic feet per second. And for those of you who realize, that's a big increase. The Department of Interior says the project symbolizes the success of the federal and state cooperation and exemplifies how public and private partnerships can deliver benefits that include avoiding regulatory processes, litigation, and lengthy delays. I'm making a case that with carefully wrought partnerships like these, hydropower and salmon can coexist, Babbitt said. And forest conservation groups are lobbying the U.S. government to propose listing big leaf mahogany under the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. The Center for International Environmental Law and Defenders of Wildlife say the valuable tree species is in need of greater protection from legal and illegal harvesting for international and domestic trade. Mahogany logging is a major catalyst for deforestation of neotropical lowland forests, thereby leading to reduction of available mahogany habitat and posing a significant threat to tropical biodiversity. The groups point this out in a letter signed by forest policy officers, senior attorneys, economists, and campaign directors. Scientists have found that populations are in decline and are concerned that current patterns, methods, and levels of logging are unsustainable over the long term, the letter states. The groups say they have evidence that big leaf mahogany meets CITES listing criteria for limited reportable trade, known as Appendix 2 listing, in Brazil, Bolivia, Mexico, Belize, and Guatemala. Harvest values for the international trade cannot be maintained in those countries, the groups say, and perhaps in Peru and Nicaragua as well. Mahogany populations in Ecuador, Colombia, Panama, and Costa Rica also merit an Appendix 2 listing, and in the future could become candidates for the most restrictive Appendix 1 listing, threatening with extinction and affected by trade, the groups claim. And species in Appendix 1 are banned from international trade. All right. Moving to Honolulu, the Center for Marine Conservation urged the Hawaiian Federal District Court judge to provide immediate protection to Pacific leatherback sea turtle populations. The primary cause of the endangered turtle's decline in the Pacific is incidental capture in fisheries. The Hawaii-based longline fishery alone takes an estimated 244 leatherbacks each year. Last February, CMC and the Sea Turtle Restoration Project filed a lawsuit against the National Marine Fisheries Service for allowing the Hawaii fishery to operate without protecting sea turtles. The federal judge must determine how to reduce turtle takes during the 2 years that it will take the National Marine Fisheries Service to prepare an environmental impact statement. Hundreds of leatherbacks are hooked in this fishery each year and may eventually die after they are released, said Dr. Pamela Plotkin of CMC. Each and every Pacific leatherback taken is a potentially serious loss to the population because there are so few adult leatherbacks remaining. Pacific leatherback populations have plummeted in the last decade. Some nesting populations in the West Pacific are now biologically extinct, indicating that too few are left for the population to recover. And unless measures are taken now to reduce the take of Pacific leatherbacks on longline fisheries, the turtles will be extinct in the next few years, the CMC says. Leatherback sea turtles will not survive if we maintain the status quo in this fishery, said Plotkin. We need to reduce leatherback turtle takes in this fishery immediately, or soon there will be no leatherbacks at all in the Pacific. All right, let's try one more news story here. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced today it will develop a comprehensive nationwide management plan for the double-crested cormorant. Populations of the migratory birds plummeted during the 1950s and 60s due to human persecution, pesticides, including DDT, and the declining health of many ecosystems. Today their numbers are at historic highs due to the presence of ample food, federal state protection, and reduced contaminant levels. The resurgence has led to increasing concern about the birds' impact on commercial and recreational fishery resources. Since 1972, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has issued permits on a case-by-case basis for fish hatcheries to kill the birds where non-lethal control methods have been ineffective. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service will continue to evaluate the species status, known and perceived impacts on other resources, and potential management strategies, and consider the administrative, logistical, and socioeconomic impacts of various management strategies. If you're concerned about this, you need to contact U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Director Jamie Rappaport-Clark. If you'd like more information, you can find it at www.fws.gov. That's www.fws.gov/r9mbmo/issues/cormorant/cormorant.html. All right. Well, we're going to take a little musical break here, and then we'll be right back with the second half of our show.
There's a magic in the air that I feel when I am there. It plays straight for my heart, and it lays it all bare. It's in the cry of an eagle, and the deer so meek and mild. It's in the rise of a mountain, let it stay forever wild. Forever wild, forever wild, let it stay forever wild. It's in all that is not tame, and some that can't be named. It's in the fog down in the valley, it's in the scent of summer rain. It's in the scream of a lion when she's sounding like a child. It's in the song of a river, let it stay forever wild. Forever wild, forever wild, let it stay forever wild. Now the earth, she holds the key to all that shall be free. It's in the peace down in the desert and the wisdom of the trees. It's in the grace of a swan's wing and the grizzly when she's riled. It's in all the love I bear it, let it stay forever wild, forever wild, forever wild. Let it stay forever wild. Now there are those of our own kind, they're running fast and going blind, and the only thing they worship is their God the dollar sign. Well, we must fight them with our spirit, with our might, and with our guile. We must show them that the answer is to stay forever wild. Forever wild, forever wild. Let it stay forever wild.
And Earth First Radio will be right back, so stay tuned.